May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to God. Amen. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Words from Psalm 119 that we read earlier. I think perhaps one of the best loved books in the Bible is the Psalms. Rosemary Williams of St. Peter's in Wolvercote, who wrote about her Bible triptych panel that we saw earlier. She said, the book of Psalms is wonderful. Praise poems, which occur in many cultures. There are also poems of despair, and sometimes anger. And someone once said to me, the Psalms give us words to pray when we can't think of our own. The Psalms give us words to pray when we can't think of our own. We didn't read the whole of Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. And scholars tell us that it's an acrostic. There are 22 sections of 8 lines, each section beginning with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, going through the alphabet in the way sometimes we do that with poems or indeed with puzzles and things. And perhaps it was a device for teaching and for memorizing for the young people. And it draws together different types of psalm writing, almost like a composite of the other ones, with hymns of praise and thanksgiving, with words of lament and complaint about enemies. And if we think of all those different aspects, then there are things in there that we all want to say to God at different times. So the idea that the Psalms give us words to pray when we can't think of our own is quite a good one. Overall, Psalm 119, as it's headed in the new Revised Standard Version, is about the glories of God's law. The glories of God's law. We perhaps have a negative impression of God's law. We think about words of Paul and his contrasting of grace and law. The freedom, he says, of his life in Christ, over against the spiritual deadness he felt of his existence as a Pharisee. And even in the Gospels, where Jesus debates with the Pharisees and criticizes their legalism. The Pharisees emphasize the laws of ritual purity. Those were only kept by the priests in the temple. And so that emphasis was legalistic and narrow, and not the whole picture of the law. In our psalm and elsewhere in the Old Testament, God's law is understood not as a burdensome legal requirement, but as something that's life-enhancing, something in which the writer delights. I delight in the way of your decrees. I will delight in your statutes. I was reminded of this earlier this week. I attended the service of the High Sheriff of Oxfordshire. It marks the beginning of the legal year. Anne Gow, who is at Cumnor, is the Sheriff's chaplain, which is why I got an invitation and I thought I'd go along. And the preacher spoke about the use of artificial intelligence, AI, in the legal system. It was more of a talk than a sermon, I have to say, but he did touch on the reading at one point. But it was so that's how to write a sermon, have a lecture and stick in a bumper. but to be fair, it was very interesting and telling how AI is obviously, it's hoped it will make things more efficient, get things through the court system faster and so on. But he was emphasizing particularly the need for human decisions, people making decisions, to ensure that justice respects the human dignity of those on trial, and indeed of victims, and that he allows the possibility of mercy and compassion. The computers just go by the rules and the information that they're given. They haven't got that sort of what would be a word? Pardon? Thinking, yes, yes, computers can't think, they can just obey rules. Law is not just legalism and following rules, but responsive to the humanity of the situation, our laws. It's not quite rejoicing in the law as is in the psalm, but you see the connection, I hope. Law being about more than the mechanistic following of rules. And so too, in the reading from Nehemiah, the people are told to rejoice in God's law. And a reminder of the context perhaps. The people are assembling in the city square, and Ezra the prophet reads to them from the book of the law. They've been in exile. They've just returned from exile, and things are in a mess. Nehemiah is a court official of the Persian king, and he's come to help put things in order, come back home. And so, as I say, the people have assembled in the square, and Ezra the prophet reads to them from the book of the law. While they were in exile, they may well have tried to keep up their religion, but it will have been difficult. And so now the old ways are being revisited. And so Ezra and his helpers read from the book of the law, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So not just reading, but interpreting. And it says, firstly, the people wept. I wonder why. Perhaps they realized their shortcomings as they listened to the words of the law. Perhaps they realized what they'd been missing in not being able to follow their faith properly while they're in exile. Ezra and the other leaders tell the people not to weep, but to be glad. Hearing the scriptures again is a positive thing, a reminder of God with them. Reading the scriptures is, of course, not just words on a page. Indeed, in our own services, we interpret. And in Psalm 119, there are lots of references to law, words like decrees and statutes. But it's the relationship to the lawgiver, God, which is important. For the psalmist, the law is divine insight, helping people to live joyfully in relation to God. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. It's about relationship with God. We can see something of the writer's engagement with his God. He talks about not the law, your statutes. I delight in following your way. God's law is sweeter than honey. All the emotion telling about his love of God. The psalm, the law is seen as God's gift and an expression of God's nature. Important too, as I suggest, in our own relationship with the Bible. Bible, I suggest, is not important in itself, but only as it shows us God. And what does Jesus say when challenged about what is the most important of the laws? You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, he says. What is important, summed up in relationship to God. The Bible is not important in itself, but only as it shows us God. But extend that a bit. But only as it shows us God and shows us how to live godly lives, if I can use that rather old-fashioned phrase. Because throughout our psalm, there are a number of references to how God's law can influence us. The psalmist is able to say, even in my suffering, I was comforted because your promise gave me life. God's promise brings him consolation and hope in trouble. These are words from later in the psalm. Your word is a lamp to guide me, says the psalmist. God's law shows him the path to take in life. And then there is the impact on the psalmist when he remembers those who ignore the law. My tears pour down like a river because people do not obey your law. And in that section that we read at the beginning of the service, obeying the law helps a young person to keep his life pure. Keeping the law in the heart is the key to right behaviour. And so in that letter to Colossians, we have guidance about how to live our lives, about the kind of people that we should be. And as Christians, we recognise these qualities of compassion and kindness, humility, meekness and patience, of forgiveness, all qualities that we see in Jesus when we read of him in the Gospels. And God's law was not just about an individual's walk with God, but about living in community, and probably more so for those ancient Hebrews. Jesus' comment on the second most important commandment is, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself." And so, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, there are laws about remembering the poor, about respecting others' property, about caring for the land, and so on. Living in community. And in Colossians, there's things about our individual behaviour, living our godly lives, holiness, but also about living in community. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Teach and admonish one another. It's about the community of the Christian people together. The Psalms themselves were a resource for the faith of the community as well as the individual. People would have used them in the home, used them for their prayers. But as we've been told many times, I'm sure the Book of Psalms was the hymn book of the temple. It would have been used in the synagogues, helped to shape the faith of the community here in the reading from Nehemiah, the community are brought together to listen to the word, to see their faith as something drawing them together through God. So turning back to ourselves again, the Bible is not important in itself, but only as it shows us God and shows us how to live our lives as his people, as individuals and in community. The writer of Psalm 119, indeed, other similar psalms, is saying that God has revealed in the law how to be in tune with him and with the whole of creation. So for the God-fearing person, these psalms seem to say that all shall be well, in those familiar words of Julian of Norwich. But Julian lived in turbulent times and experienced personal suffering. And like her, the psalmist knows that very often all is not well. And so in some psalms we have what the biblical scholar Bernard Anderson calls the great nevertheless. Things are going wrong for me and the wicked seem to prosper. Nevertheless, despite everything, God is there. And perhaps at such times is where he may be best found and understood. So the Bible is not important in itself, but only as it shows us God, I suggest. Shows us how to live godly lives. Shows us how to live as his people in community, whatever may befall us. Nevertheless, despite everything, God is there.